We now turn to the Word of God, Acts chapter 16, and we read from verse 16. Hear the Word of God. Yes, I should have said, anybody who's a visitor, there's a Bible in the seat in front of you, underneath it. Okay, and we're at Acts chapter 16. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had an evil spirit that enabled her to predict the future. She earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you how you can be saved." She did this for many days until Paul became so upset that he turned round and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to come out of her." The Spirit went out of her that very moment. When her owners realized that their chance of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the authorities in the public square. They brought them before the Roman officials and said, "These men are Jews, and they are causing trouble in our city. They are teaching customs that are against our law. We are Roman citizens, and we cannot accept these customs or practice them." And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered them to be whipped. After a severe beating, they were thrown into jail, and the jailer was ordered to lock them up tight. Upon receiving this order, the jailer threw them into the inner cell and fastened their feet between heavy blocks of wood. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, which shook the prison to its foundations. At once, all the doors opened, and the chains fell off all the prisoners. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he thought that the prisoners had escaped. So he pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted at the top of his voice, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for a light, rushed in, and fell trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. Then he led them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your family." Then they preached the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that very hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and he and all his family were baptized at once. Then he took Paul and Silas up into his house and gave them some food to eat. He and his family were filled with joy because they now believed in God. The next morning, the Roman authorities sent police officers with the order, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The officials have sent an order for you and Silas to be released. You may leave then and go in peace." But Paul said to the police officers, "We were not found guilty of any crime, yet they whipped us in public, and we are Roman citizens. Then they threw us in prison, and now they want to send us away secretly. Not likely. The Roman officials themselves must come here and let us out." The police officers reported these words to the Roman officials, And when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were afraid. So they went and apologized to them. Then they led them out of the prison and asked them to leave the city. Paul and Silas left the prison and went to Lydia's house. There they met the believers, spoke words of encouragement to them, and left. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now we start with the slave girl. This sweet girl goes around shouting, telling people that these men are men of the famous, the important, the all-correct God, and that they are able to tell you how you can be saved. Now, you can imagine if you are going about your business and somebody keeps running around shouting, it's a wee bit annoying, a wee bit irritating. Now, I want you to imagine something. You're walking down Byers Road. It's a lovely sunny day. And you're enjoying your walk, minding your own business. You're on your own. You're aware of other people. You can hear them chattering in the background, and you're aware of them coming and going in and out of shops and so on. But you are on your own, and you're just enjoying the walk. And then someone comes up in front of you, and they say to you, "You are," and they call you by your name. So they would say to me, "You are Katie Morrison." So you're a bit taken aback. But that's all, you're just taken aback. Now, if it was me, I would start to think, former pupil perhaps? No, I never had one that looked like that. And then you think, somebody I've met in one of the churches I've been at. No, it's not that either. And then this person, in a menacing sort of way, they stand right in front of you and they say, "And you stay at," and they give you your exact address. Not just a street or a road, they give you the exact place, the exact location. Now, by this time, you feel a wee bit uncomfortable. You feel, I don't know this person at all, and yet they know who I am, and now they know exactly where I live. And you don't know how to answer them, so you just look, and as you're about to move to the side and try to walk around them, they move closer. And they tell you something that only you, and maybe a close friend or a member of your family, but it's something that only you and one other person knows about you. Now that is scary. So we go from being puzzled to anxious to downright frightened, because this person seems to know an awful lot. Now let's go back to Paul. He's in that kind of situation. He's got this wee girl running about shouting. She obviously knows who they are and what they can do. Now he wasn't frightened, but he was troubled by this. So one day, she's shouting again about they work for God and they know how to save you and so on. And Paul turns round. He knows that there's an evil spirit in her, but he decides, right, enough is enough. So he tells the spirit to come out, and it does. This causes consternation. The people who own the wee girl, now remember, she's a slave girl. She has absolutely nothing. She doesn't even own herself. And this causes great consternation with the people who are her owners, because they have been making a lot of money out of this girl, because she did. The evil spirit gave her the power to tell fortunes, if you like. And people at that time were probably more superstitious than we are today, and they would think, "Oh, this is great. Oh, I must find out." And they would pay a lot of money, but not to the wee girl. It was to her owners. So they were absolutely horrified by this. They realized that their way of making money, it has gone. So they go and complain. They complain to the authorities about what Paul has done. And we know the story. They are taken to a public place and they are flogged in public. And it would be a very painful business. You can imagine the wheels on their backs. You can imagine the blood trickling down. And there would be no sympathy for them. And then the order goes out, put them in prison. And it's not only put them in prison, but they've to be bound up tightly. So they are taken away with the blood dripping off them. And the jailer puts them in to an inner cell. And there are big blocks of wood. Now, I don't know how many of you remember what stocks are like. I think that's something you see more in an English village. But there's a place sometimes for your hands and your feet. But in this case, it was a great big wooden block and they could stick their feet through. Now, you can imagine how uncomfortable that is. You can't really move. And the wood would not be all nice and finely carved. It would be rough. So if you try to move your feet and your legs a wee bit, the chances are you'll just take the skin off. So the two of them are left, the blood pouring out of them, very uncomfortable. But what do they do at midnight? Well, I know what I would do. I would sit and cry my heart out and feel very sorry for myself. And I would be saying, this is terrible. I feel sore and uncomfortable. And everybody's being unkind to me. But not these two. No, they were praying to God. And they were singing hymns of praise to God. Now, I think by this time I've been with you long enough that you know I get very excited about singing joyful songs to the Lord. But here are these two in great pain. They know that they're not going anywhere because they're fastened in, so there's nothing to look forward to. And yet they are praying to God and singing to his glory. And then a strange thing happens. There's a violent earthquake. Now, I don't think any of us have experienced an earthquake, but it's a very frightening thing, I believe, and a lot of shaking and trembling and so on off the ground. And in this case, the prison doors were all thrown open. And all the chains, now the prisoners in the other cells, they would all be tied up in chains, but all the chains and all the things that were restricting them, they all fell away. Now, for the prisoners, this must have been great. The first thought must have been, freedom, let's get out of here. But they didn't. They listened to Paul and Silas, and they weren't going anywhere. And then the jailer, he has been having a wee nap, but gets wakened up with this earthquake and realizes all the doors are open. And he thinks, oh no, they'll all be away. That's it. And he knows what would happen to him. He would be flogged and then probably killed. So he decides, I'll make it easier. I'll just kill myself. And just as he gets his sword ready to plunge it into himself, Paul shouts out, no, don't. We're all here. Now, you can imagine the relief that man felt. Relief that all his prisoners are still there, so he won't be in trouble with the authorities. But also, he would be bewildered. Now, if you were the jailer and you had all your people chained up and they got an opportunity to go, you would expect them to jump up and go as quickly as they could. Now, the man is so full of anxiety and he's so puzzled, and yet he realizes there is something special. what these men have been saying. It's true. This Lord that they've been speaking to in prayer, this Lord that they've been singing to, this is somebody special. And he goes in and he throws himself down before them. And he wants to know, how can he become part of this family who believe in the Lord? How can he be forgiven? And of course, Paul tells him, all you have to do is believe in the Lord. So he is filled with excitement. And Paul tells him that he can be saved and so can his family. So the man then takes them off to his family. And he obviously, now it doesn't tell us in detail, but you can imagine that the jailer tells his family what has happened. And you notice that he washes the wounds of Paul. And I think this is really cleansing. It's an example of cleansing. Just as he is going to baptize the jailer and his family, which is another type of cleansing. When he baptizes them, he's cleansing them from their old way of life, taking away all the bad bits and all the nasty bits, and making them, if you like, clean, ready to start afresh. And I think that's why we have this cleansing of the wounds. It's saying to us, physically, I am cleansing the wounds of Paul. But Paul is about to cleanse me spiritually. And that is a very important part. So they learn about the Lord, they are baptized, and they then become part of the Lord's family. However, that's not the end of the story. When word comes saying, made a big mistake, shouldn't really have put these folk in prison, so tell them that it's all right and just to go away, that's it, fine. Paul is having none of it. He was insulted because he was told that he was a Jew, but nobody recognized that he was also a Roman citizen. So he was having none of that. He was going to have an apology. And he insisted on it. So instead of getting up and saying, oh great, that's fine, I'll just go now. Come on, Silas, let's get away. He says, no, I want these people to come. I want them to tell me that I'm free to go. And he insists on it. And they do. They come along and they do apologize. And then, having said, yes, you are a Roman citizen, no, you should not have been flogged in a public place, and basically, we're really sorry, but if you would just like to move on, because they don't want Paul and Silas to hang around any longer. They've done quite enough. So they encourage them to leave. And Paul and Silas go off to Lydia's house. Now, if we think back to last week, Lydia was the lady who worked in materials, if you like. She was a businesswoman, well-to-do. And then we look at our people that we encounter today. The jailer. Now, we're not told exactly what he did before, but he was probably a retired soldier, which means that he's sort of middle class, quite well to do. So when he retired from being a soldier, when he was no longer fit for that, he would get a job as a jailer. And then we've got the wee girl. She is the lowest form of human life. She's a slave and she's a girl. Sorry, ladies, but we were always seen as the lowest form of life. And if you were a girl or a woman and you were a slave, then that was even worse. You just couldn't get any lower than that. So what is the story saying to us today? Well, if we take these three people, we've got the well-to-do, the middle class, and the very poor one. Poorer than we can imagine. Just nothing at all. She doesn't even own herself. And yet these people are brought to God. Now, we heard last week that Lydia heard the words of God through Paul, and she became converted, if you like. She wanted to believe. She believed in God just by what she had heard. The jailer, he was brought to God by what he saw happening. An earthquake that opened up the prison and meant that everybody could run away, but nobody moved. And he realized then that there was something special about what Paul was saying. Not special about Paul, special about what Paul was saying. All these prayers and hymns, they really meant something. So there he and his family are turning to God. And the wee girl, for the first time, she is free. When Paul took the evil spirit out of her, she was free from evil. And because she didn't have the evil spirit, she didn't have this, now I don't like to use the word gift, but I can't think of a better one. She didn't have this power, maybe that's a better word, this evil power which made her able to tell people what was going to happen in the future and so on. So she's free from the evil spirit, she's free from this power, which was not a good power to have, and it means that she's free from her owners. Because they no longer wanted her. If she couldn't go out and make a lot of money for them, they didn't want her. So in a way, she is being freed from evil and from being owned by other people. Now again, it doesn't say exactly what happened, but I would imagine that the wee girl would recognize something special in what Paul had done for her. And she too would turn to the Lord. Now today, we live in a society that is a very broken society. And I think this message is more important. It was very relevant at that time. And it's just as relevant today, that no matter, the real message is that no matter who you are or what you are, whether you're well-to-do and clever, or whether you're at the other end of the scale where you are not very gifted, you've got nothing going for you, or you think you haven't, God is there for you. And God doesn't look down and see class. God doesn't look down and see how clever or how gifted. God just sees someone he has made. We are all his children, and he loves us all regardless of our background. And that is the wonderful message coming out of this today. No matter how good you are, you might have a lot to give or you might have very little to give, and yet God loves you equally. Now I think that is a very powerful message, something that we can take away today, that God likes us just as we are. He understands our weaknesses, he understands that we will fall, that we will find times when we just cannot do what we need to do, but he's there to pick up the pieces. And there will be times when we make mistakes, and he's there to forgive us. Isn't it wonderful that God can love us just as we are?